Have you recently thought about why we humans cry? If you are cutting onions or have some foreign particle in your eye, your tear ducts will open up and will try to flush out the eyes of whatever is irritating them, that very sensitive area of the body. We flush out 30 gallons of water through our eyes a year. Why do we cry, though, when we're sad, when we're grieving, or for some of us, when we're laughing? The scientific community is not exactly sure. They say they have found stress hormones in the tears that we shed. They said they have found painkillers and even toxins that the body is ridding itself of when we cry. Some think that if we are too happy or if we are too sad, it's a way of the body stabilizing itself and stabilizing the mood, which also impacts the breathing and the heart rate. Others think that the tears that we shed elicit sympathy and invite others to look at us with concern and empathy. And in a sense, we're inviting those people into our lives, into our sadness, and into our happiness. In our gospel reading, Jesus enters into the grieving of Mary and Martha. Jesus begins to weep. The eternal Son of God, who has become human, shares this very human experience with us, as he is fully human. His friend Lazarus is dead, whom he deeply loved. Jesus shares the grief that his sisters Mary and Martha have. And even though he knows he is about to raise Lazarus from the dead, he still validates their loss by his tears. In our reading from Isaiah and Revelation, we are given that vision of the kingdom of heaven, where God will wipe away the tears from our eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying will be no more. The first things having been passed away. In that moment, God will validate a lifetime and a worldwide experience of loss and grief. We are inviting him into that moment every time we cry, every time someone in the world feels pain or loss or sadness. God sees our tears. We're not invisible. Our crying has become a prayer. He's heard our pleas for sympathy as we invite him into our world and as he comes to us in the Son of God. You'll remember that the Apostle Paul remembers the tears of Timothy, that young pastor, in his letter to him that has become scripture. Timothy's tears remind Paul to pray for him as a fellow shepherd in the faith. Tears are prayer. Tears are a call to others to pray. Tears are also a call to action. Just as God told the Israelites who spent 400 years of slavery in Egypt, "I have surely seen your affliction, the affliction of my people who are in Egypt. I've heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and bring them into a good and broad land flowing with milk and honey." But why did God take 400 years to answer those cries? Why did Jesus come after the Lazarus died and not before he died? Even Mary and Martha and the friends ask that question. And why this promise of wiping away tears from our eyes at the end of all time and at the beginning of eternity, when we want that comfort and we want that relief now? And perhaps that's why we do not mourn or grieve or shed our tears as much as we ought to. In a way, we're naming that pain and that loss by our crying. It might be easier for us simply to live in denial or plug up those tear ducts and plug up those emotions. We take it upon ourselves to stop the crying and wipe away our own tears on our own time and perhaps pretend that everything's okay. It can be hard to make ourselves vulnerable to those around us. In front of others, it might even be hard for us to be vulnerable before the true and living God. But God already sees our grief without our tears. He hears our groaning as prayer that is too deep for words. He knows our suffering. He has heard our cry. He heard all 400 years of collective grief of the people of God in slavery. He knows our every loss, our every sadness of each and every individual that has ever lived. Psalm 56 says this profound truth that God keeps our tears in a bottle. He puts our tears into the archives of our lives and pulls them out at the end of time. It is for a lack of faith that we don't cry out to God. It's for a lack of trust that we don't grieve before others. Or perhaps it's because of pride that we don't want to be seen as weak. Or we want to handle it ourselves without the help of others and the prayers of others or even the help of God. This morning we will name our losses one by one in this Christian community as a family of faith. We utter the names of individuals who have died in the last year, who have passed from this veil of tears into the mountain of God's paradise. We chime the bell to validate our loss, to mark it, but also to celebrate God's gain. It's good for the soul to shed tears. We're in a safe place here in the family of God. It's okay to feel anger, loneliness, sadness. It's okay to question. It's okay to accept. And it's okay to feel those things not in that order. It's okay to unload it all upon God, just as the scriptures say, cast all your cares upon him, because he cares for you. Today we have a vision of all of those we have lost. God has wiped every tear from their eyes. Death is no more. There is no mourning, no crying in the great heavenly host that no one can number. And here is the amazing truth. You and I are among that number. All those saints stand outside of time and space. We are the ones gathered there in John's vision. We are the ones who God has gathered from all over the world. We're the ones who have shed tears, and God has collected all of them into his bottles. We are the ones from every tribe, nation, tongue, and people. Our tears acknowledge our very real pain today. But in the sure and certain hope of the resurrection of the dead. The visions from Isaiah and Revelation and the words of Jesus assure us that there is a great reunion to come. And we've already seen it in the scriptures. That great reunion has already begun. Our loss has led to our gain. Our sadness has turned to joy. As the scripture says, weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Our tears have already begun to be wiped away by those nail-scarred hands. Every week, we have a foretaste of this feast to come, the celebration of this heavenly host. As we gather here together in the name of Jesus at his table, the one who wept for us, the one who died for us and rose for us, the one who hears our cries, the one who rose again from the dead for us. Each week, we hear those profound words and reminder. Therefore, with angels and archangels and the whole company of heaven, we laud and we magnify your glorious name evermore, praising you and saying, Holy, 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 Lord God of Sabaoth, heaven and earth is full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.